You know, our attention this evening is drawn to a feeding trough, a manger. Now, the manger, the feeding trough, it's not the main thing, but it's a sign. It's a finger pointing to the main thing within it. Within that manger, the identity and the task of the one in there brings universal joy. The title and the tasks of the one in that feeding trough brings good news and joy to everyone. In Luke 2, our scripture that was read this evening, the angels see these shepherds, and can you imagine the scene as they are out in the fields at night, in complete darkness? Not a night like in New York where it's never really that dark, but out in the fields at night, and this great light shone. And it says in the text that the angel said to those shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people." The sign of the manger, mentioned three times in the text in Luke, is that the one that it holds brings good news and universal joy to all people. Universal joy, what would that be like? That's something that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Perhaps you and I know what it's like to experience small little pockets of joy for a season or a period. I think we just experienced one just now, where we're all standing and singing and clapping, or perhaps you've been to the theater or across the street to wonderful Carnegie Hall, and you get enraptured in one of those moments where everyone has a smile on their face, with the great crescendo that might end the piece that has been where the whole evening has been climaxing in. Have you ever been in an event like that, where there is just a pocket of joy that is contagious? Or for perhaps the more heathen among us like myself that enjoy a sporting event here and there, when your team goes ahead for that winning run or score and you jump up and fist pump and chest pump people you don't even know, but you're overcome with joy and excitement. Or perhaps in your own personal life, you know what it's like to have those moments, those pockets or periods of joy. Perhaps 2016 brought one such moment for you. Perhaps it was the birth of a child. Or perhaps it was a graduation from school. It's not easy squeezing 4 years of college into 5 or 6. And you're happy to be done. And you were this smiling as one walking across that stage. Anybody been there? No confessions. We know what it's like to experience pockets of joy in mass and individual. But universal joy? That's hard to see, isn't it? We're much more acquainted with the realities of universal fear, aren't we? Just this morning in our news feeds, terror threats on Christmas services. Or perhaps you're dealing with a little bit of post-election anxiety. No, just me and just you? Just, you can't even sit at a dinner table this week without the tension arising. Or perhaps economic instability and fear about what the coming years will bring for you and your family or your workplace or your job. We know what it's like to have universal fears, don't we? And we also are well acquainted with small pockets of fear in our own lives. Just last week, a friend of mine diagnosed with a scary, scary disease, hoping that it won't be terminal. Some of us fearful of our job this coming year and whether or not it'll be there come January 1. We know what it's like, don't we? To experience fear en masse and fear in our heart. But this evening, as we think of Christmas, of the birth of Jesus, our attention is drawn to that manger, because inside the manger is one whose title and whose tasks bring universal joy to everyone. And that's something we could all agree on and love and cherish. This is the culmination of our season of Advent, a season of waiting, a season of anticipation. How many of you love waiting and anticipating for things in New York? It is the ultimate hurry up and wait place, isn't it? Hurry up and wait for your subway. You know, hurry up and, you know, wait online for this or that. And in a culture of waiting, we're reminded this time of year that we wait, we anticipate, we long for something. And Advent season is a reminder to us that the arrival of Jesus, as it once was thousands of years ago, we are still what? Waiting, waiting, anticipating, longing for his coming again for a second time. But tonight is a reminder to us that there is joy in the midst of this waiting. I just want to look at one verse here in this text from Luke, where we see the manger pointing to three realities about this baby that laid within, that changed the world, and that give joy to all people if we open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see what this baby is for. It's found in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Luke. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A Savior. The manger holds a Savior. The manger holds a Christ or a Messiah. And the manger holds the Lord. A Savior, a Messiah, and a Lord. Look with me as we think the men and women surrounding this scene of Jesus' birth. And in those first few chapters of Luke, you see all different characters, men and women, popping up on the scene, shepherds and priests and aunts and young women. And we see in Mary, the mother, the young mother of Jesus, this realization that she needs a Savior. In chapter 1 of Luke, it says in verse 46, "And Mary said," this great song, this Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary, recognizing early on the need for a Savior. Here is the universal need that a Savior meets, that you and I need to have met if you and I are going to experience joy. Here it is: forgiveness. The Savior comes to rescue and to forgive us. This was something that Zechariah, that priest, that father of John, knew well as well. Later on in that same chapter, during his beautiful hymn, we see in verse 76, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high." The manger holds a Savior, because the Savior comes to forgive. You and I are completely known in Jesus. God completely knows everything about us. Is that a scary thought? No one in this room knows everything completely that's going on in your mind just in the last 10 minutes, and thank God, probably. But the truth of the gospel is that God completely knows us. Knows our ins and our outs, our ups, our downs, and most importantly, knows our shortcomings, our sins, those places where we do not measure up to the glory and the goodness and the righteousness of God. And the gospel is this, that even though God completely knows us, in Jesus, the Savior, he completely loves and forgives us. Amen? If you know Jesus, if you have confessed those sins and put your trust in his work for your behalf, you are completely known and loved and forgiven of God. This is why the manger brings so much joy. A Savior is within, a Savior who forgives. For those of us here this evening that know this great, wonderful forgiveness in Jesus, perhaps you remember the first time you tasted and saw that the Lord was good like this. where you recognize the beauty of Jesus and his passion and forgiveness for you in your life. I remember what it was like for me. I was a young 9-year-old boy at a church service, and I heard the gospel of Jesus, that even though in my sin I'm far from God, that God came down in Christ, lived the life I could not live, died the death I deserved, and rose again to new life, that when I put my trust in him, I am forgiven. And I am brought into a new mission to live for him in this world. And I'll never forget, after I heard this message, I went forward to this pastor and I said, I want to follow Christ. I want to walk in faith. I want to trust Jesus like this. And that night afterwards, our family went out for dinner. Now, I don't know if I was just hungry. It was late at night. But I remember walking down the street to this pizza spot out in Staten Island and feeling something change within me. This was my experience. This burden had been lifted. I knew that I had been forgiven. And you can know this too. In the manger, the Savior is there to forgive you of your sins. You don't have to hide with God. You are already completely known and completely loved. When you put your trust and faith in him, experience that this evening. Don't let that aspect of the Christmas message be lost. A Savior is born. Secondly, in the text, it says not only that a Savior is born, but for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ. Christ. This is the word for Messiah, for the anointed one. That it, the manger itself, holds the Messiah. The truth that this meets in our life, the reason why this can give us so much joy is that it's a truth that God is faithful to his promise. God is faithful to his promise. Not only are we forgiven in the Savior, but in this Messiah, we know that our God is faithful and we could hope in him. The promise of this one to come, this anointed one, this Messiah, goes all the way back and weaves its way through the biblical story. Early on in the scriptures, there's the promise given to Eve that there would be one who would come who would crush the head of Satan. And throughout the ups and downs and the shortcomings of the people of God throughout history, we see this promise of the Messiah continually focusing and coming about. Later on, Abraham is chosen as the leader of this, father of this great nation, that through him there would be one that would bless all the earth. Later on, as the story unfolds, it goes to a king and a lineage, and David and the one who would sit on his throne would rule and reign forever. And the people of God throughout all of the scriptural story show us that time and again, they do not place their hope in this Messiah and in this God, and they fall short. So much so that we see in the prophet Isaiah this promise to come of this servant who would suffer in order to be the one that people would find as their Messiah and Lord. And in Jesus, the book is closed. The answer has come. The anointed, the Christ, the Messiah is in the manger, in the feeding trough. Hope has been realized in Jesus. Hope is a commodity that is oftentimes lost in this world, isn't it? We often feel hopeless. Those that we put our trust in are those institutions that we hope will help us and help us meet our dreams and our goals. They oftentimes come up short and leave us wanting. And some of us have put our hope and our trust in other people, and all we have been is let down in the end. The promise of Christmas, the hope of universal joy is this: that when you come and experience that baby who would one day grow up to be the Savior of the world, you as well experience hope incarnate, the Messiah, the anointed, the fulfilling one, that in Jesus all of our hopes are met. That's reason to be joyful, amen? Our sins are forgiven. The hope and consolation of Israel is our hope as well. And lastly in the text, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The manger holds a Savior, the manger holds the Messiah, and the manger holds the Lord, the sovereign, the one who is in ultimate control. Now, this line, this phrase would have been an affront, would have been a startling statement to make in the time of Jesus. Caesar Augustus, the ruler from Rome, would have engraved on insignias and coins and other things that Caesar is Savior and Lord. That ultimate allegiance is to this ruler and his divinely appointed stature and position. So the angel says, Savior and Lord belongs to no earthly man. The only Lord, the only sovereign, the only true authority, the one in whom we should all bow is Jesus himself. He is Lord. He reigns. Now this is important for us to remember. There are many tempting lords for us to bow our knee down in allegiance. And as 21st century men and women, you know, we're a little more couth in how we go about doing it. We don't have any, most of us don't have idols that we come to and worship and bow down before. But as we dig deeper and think longer about those things in our life where our time and our resources and our heart's devotion are at, we realize there are many lords that call for our allegiance. This world offers to us the hope and the promise that success or wealth or beauty or position or power or influence, whatever it might be, that if you attain these things, then you'll have everything you need. All these idols, all these lords fall down at the face of Jesus. The truth of this evening together is that in this feeding trough, this most humble of places, the Lord of the universe has come to be with us, to come and reside with us. Emmanuel, God with us. One of the great themes of Christmas is that God shows great restraint in not exercising all of his rights and privileges as divine, but humbles himself, come to a place where he can meet us where we're at. And when we come to him, when we follow Jesus, when we come to him together as Lord in our life, it means we relinquish control of our life to him. That's not an easy and comfortable thing to hear. I like to control things around me, right? My experiences and those around me and my decisions. But the truth of the gospel is this, that if Jesus is Lord, when we come to him, we relinquish control and say, our life is not ours, it is yours. And if you are our Lord, we follow you wherever you take us for whatever purposes you have for us. Jesus is Lord. And the wonderful truth of Jesus in the gospel is this, that if you give everything up to follow him, you will not be left wanting. You will not feel as if you've been shortchanged. But to lose your life for the sake of the gospel and for Christ, it is to gain it. Jesus is Lord. Will you submit to him in your life like this? So, we're here this evening because our focus is on this manger. Not because the manger itself is in any way the main thing, but because the one who is laid down inside it, through his power and his titles and his tasks, brings universal joy to all people. If you confess him as Savior and ask for his forgiveness, if you put your hope in him and trust in him as the anointed one, and if you submit to him as Lord, you may lose all things in this earth, but gain eternal life in him. Now, as you know the scriptural story, it doesn't end just with Jesus coming to birth. There are other signposts. There are other symbols that remind us of the whole story, that the one who came in this humble of means in the manger would one day go to a cross. And the cross shows that he came to live and die on our behalf and to rise victorious of God. And the last sign is that of an empty tomb, that he does not remain dead, but that the God who came in humble means in a manger and died a painful death on the cross has risen again and ascended to God's right hand, waiting to return. And that's why we're here this evening. We're waiting. We're excited, remembering the joy he brought the first time, and we anticipate afresh when this God will come back again and truly be Savior and Messiah and Lord for all people. That's universal joy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the hope of the gospel. Lord, we thank you this evening, Lord, that our focus could be on the Savior of the world. Lord, we thank you that Jesus, Lord, came to humble means, God, in order to make this possible. Lord, forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and forgive us of our shortcomings. God, forgive us of those times in our life, Lord, where we have sacrificed our lives to other idols and other lords that do not satisfy. God, may this evening be a reminder afresh of the great glory and power of your Son, Jesus, and the great ability that he gives us to come before you forgiven and whole and with purpose and focus. Lord, help us, God, to submit all of our lives to the lordship of this child who would be king. Lord, for everyone here this evening, God, including myself, Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful that we have received this message. Lord, be with us in the coming days as we share this hope that is within us about this Jesus. Lord, may others see something different in our life. Lord, that we are not submitting to other worldly authorities and other hopes and dreams that do not satisfy. But God, may people see that we are set apart because of Christ. And Lord, we are following you to the end. Lord, we give up our lives for you and know, Lord, that you will give us back more than we could ever experience. Be with us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.